hit record and let me know. Look at that. It's perfect. All right. Well, so thank you everybody for joining tonight. And as we go, we'll probably have some more people jump on, but I did want to introduce Rick. The intent was to have Josh on here for the three-part series, and Josh had a conflict that came up kind of last minute with a business family that he's very involved in, and he had an opportunity to sit down with everybody in that business. So we worked it out, and Rick is a partner with him at Fearless Chaplaincy and Fearless Churches. So I wanted to make sure that we introduced him to kick us off this first three-part or second three-part series on depression. And just a little background, Rick is a counselor and a care pastor with Fearless Family of Churches, and he has years of experience working as a care pastor, a clinical therapist, and a workplace chaplain, and now is employed there at Fearless Family of Churches and working side-by-side with Rick. So I just want to say welcome, Rick, and thank you for kind of covering for Josh tonight and making this event happen for us so that we didn't have to try to change our dates around. And what I'll do, I'll just kick it over to you if you want to have anything else on your bio, and then we'll get right into the discussion on depression tonight.
Great. Great. Thank you so much. And obviously, as you can tell, Josh and I are not twins. He does have a twin brother, but I am not him. So thank you for joining us tonight and for this opportunity. Yeah, I'll just share a couple other things about me personally. I've been married for 38 years, and we have three adult kids, 34, 32, and 29. All of them are married. We have one granddaughter so far. Another grandchild on the way, and five grand pets. So that's a little bit about my family. We're talking about handling anger in healthy ways to prevent depression. I consider myself still on the journey, and throughout the course of my life, on the journey of learning how to deal with anger constructively, because there is a direct link between anger and depression. And we'll talk about that as we move on here. But that's a little bit about me. I've just had the privilege of several different kind of opportunities to walk alongside people. And that's been kind of my role in life. Being able to walk alongside people in lots of different roles and in different ways. And so it's really a privilege and an honor to be able to walk alongside you guys tonight, you gentlemen and you ladies. And let's get into our topic for tonight. And then we'll have a few minutes of time for questions if you have those at the end. But first of all, let's talk about anger. A lot of times I think anger gets a bad rap. We can, for different reasons, grow up or start to believe that anger is a bad thing, that it's an emotion that we shouldn't feel, that because it is an emotion that isn't necessarily a pleasant one to have, like happiness or joy or peaceful, it's not a pleasant emotion to feel, but that doesn't mean that it's not something that we need to give ourselves permission to feel, because we are born to feel. We are created with a physical part, our body. We're created with a psychological part, our mind, our will, our emotions. And we're created with a spiritual part. And so we're created to have emotions. It's normal to have emotions. It's not bad to have emotions. Sometimes the way that maybe we express and deal with those emotions can get us into trouble. But any emotion, including anger, is really a gift to be able to feel and experience and express. So let's just start off clarifying that right away, that anger is not a bad emotion. It's a gift that we're meant to experience and is normal to experience as we move throughout our lives. As far as why it's important to handle anger and manage our anger well, if we're not managing it well, it can begin to have a negative impact on lots of different areas of our lives. The feeling itself isn't bad, but the way that we manage it, the way that we express it, can be what gets us into trouble and gives anger a bad rap. But anger in itself is not a bad thing. When we do express it in negative ways, or not negative ways, but in destructive ways or in unhelpful ways, it can create problems for ourselves. It can create problems in our relationships with other people. And spiritually, if that's a big part of our lives, it can cause difficulties for us in our relationship with God as well. Not from his end, but from our end. Let's define anger. So we're starting off from, a point of understanding what we're talking about by anger. Anger is a normal, natural, emotional response to perceived threats or injustices. A normal emotional response to perceived threats and injustices. So when we feel or perceive a threat, that means maybe there's some danger or possible harm that we need to be aware of, either to ourselves or to people that we care for. So perceived threats or injustices. When we feel there is injustices being done, whether it be towards ourselves or in our world at large or to people that we care about, then we're meant to feel that normal sense of anger that is appropriate to feel. The link between our anger and depression is also important to understand, because if we don't deal with our anger well, which is normal and good to feel, that can lead to depression, especially if the way that we have learned to deal with anger is to suppress it, to keep it all in, to bottle it up, and to just try to buck up. That's more for me growing up, how I learned to deal with anger. I am not and was not the type that would take it out on other people in aggressive, angry ways, aggressive outbursts. I would keep it in, and then the ways that I would deal with it, I would suppress it, I would try to minimize it, I would try to ignore it. And the ways that I would express it would be in non-aggressive ways, kind of more passive ways, to withdraw, to become silent, to withdraw love from people that I was angry at or hurt by or felt there was some injustices, well, this isn't fair. But then there's the other end of the spectrum for those of us that the way that we deal with anger is to deal with it in an explosive, aggressive way. So there's a whole range of, a whole spectrum of ways that we manage or try to deal with the anger. And again, it's not the anger that's bad. It's normal. It's appropriate for when we have perceived threats in our lives or injustice in our lives. But the way that we manage or deal with it is where we can get into trouble and where it can be damaging. So another definition of anger, or I'm sorry, of depression is anger turned inward. And that's that whole idea of, you know, suppressing our anger, minimizing our anger, bottling it up. Because when we do that, it doesn't go away and it remains there as much as we may try to ignore it or suppress it. As long as it's unresolved, one of the ways that it manifests itself is through depression. So that's that link between anger and depression that we need to be aware of. So that's a little bit of an introduction. Anger is not a bad emotion. It's not a bad feeling. We're created to feel anger, all of the different emotions that we feel, the pleasant and the unpleasant ones. We're going to talk more about why managing anger is important. And we've defined anger. We talked about the link between unmanaged anger and depression. Now let's talk a little bit more about understanding some different aspects of anger. Anger, I think for a lot of us, well, for all of us, one of the benefits of anger is that it's a protective mechanism for ourself. It's a protective mechanism. If you think about your car and let's say the oil light comes on or the warning that you're low on gas, right? That's a good thing that we're warned about that because that can let us know that oh, maybe there's something that needs to be dealt with. Maybe there's some action that I need to take to manage and deal with this situation. And in the same way, anger for us is meant to be a protective thing. Again, when there are perceived injustices or threats, we need to feel that anger. So that if there are steps that we need to protect ourselves or to protect others that we love, you know, and if you think about that, if you have kids, I have a daughter and two sons. Our daughter was our oldest one and was born first. And when she was born and I held her in my arms for the first time, I just felt a whole rush of emotions and things that I hadn't necessarily experienced before. And thinking about someone wanting to harm or hurt my daughter, I get angry when I think about that, when I feel there's a threat against her or any of my kids, or there's perceived injustice. And so that's an example of that protective mechanism of anger, that purpose of anger. If we're in danger, if we're in a battle, if we're being mistreated by someone else in an important relationship, hopefully we feel anger because that is a protective mechanism that can spur us on to taking some actions and making some decisions that we need to make and steps to take so that we're protecting ourselves or protecting our loved ones. So there's a protective aspect to experiencing anger, and that's a good thing. If you think about throughout history, the civil rights movement was started as a reaction to injustices taking place. And people should feel some anger about that injustice. And that spurred on Martin Luther King, that spurred on others and continues to spur on others to take steps to try to improve that situation and change that situation. If you think about things like human trafficking or poverty, you know, those are things that we should have experience some strong emotions about, including anger, because it's not right. And we all have those different areas in our life that we feel are unjust and where there are threats. And allowing us to feel that anger can spur us on to behaviors and steps that we need to take to deal with the threats and the injustice. There's a big difference between healthy and unhealthy anger, as we began to talk about. And it's not that anger itself is unhealthy. It's more about the ways that we manage our anger well. Are they healthy ways of managing? Are they helpful ways of managing? Or are they destructive? And do they cause harm either to us internally by suppressing or keeping things in? Or do our ways of managing our anger harm our relationships with others or harm other people? That's really the question that we need to deal with when it comes to anger. Is not, is it a good or bad thing? Should I or shouldn't I feel anger? We absolutely should, and we're built to feel anger and all the other emotions. But the crux of the matter is, how am I managing it? How am I dealing with it? Am I doing it constructively? Is it causing me to become a better person, myself, in my relationships with other people, or is it causing damage to myself and to those around me? Depression. We talked about the link between anger and depression, and how if we keep our anger in, if we suppress it, if we bottle it up and just try to ignore it, that can lead to depression. Some of the classic symptoms of depression are just a general sense of sadness, hopelessness, loss of interest in activities that normally we love to get involved in. We find ourselves starting to withdraw from some of those activities. Maybe there's overall just sense of tiredness and lack of energy, becoming lethargic. We just don't have the energy to get up and go like we used to. Can cause sleep difficulties. Is another symptom. We can start to experience physical symptoms because of depression, headaches, stomach aches, back aches, things that, you know, we think are maybe a physical thing, but at their root, it can be the result of some unresolved anger that we have not dealt with or managed in a healthy or constructive way. It can lead to another symptom of depression is bitterness and unresolved anger, unforgiveness. And when that's festering inside of us, those things can be like a cancer that just eats away at our soul and sometimes our body, and it affects us. It affects how we relate to other people. And so all of this anger that we can experience, even though it's normal and okay to experience, and we ought to experience it in certain situations, can result in a lot of negative issues for us if we're not managing it well. I think it's kind of like if you think about a helium balloon, maybe as an example. Now, a helium balloon is, if it's filled with helium and there are no leaks in the balloon, it's meant to float in the air. And similarly, in our lives, we're meant to thrive. We're meant to experience life at its fullest. But if we've got unresolved anger in our life that we're not managing well. It's like the helium balloon that eventually it has a little leak and it starts to fall back to the ground, and eventually it's flat. That's what our life can become like. Rather than thriving and experiencing the fullness of life that's available to us, the life gets sucked out of us, and we miss out on so many things, in relationships with other people and just in experiencing peace and joy for ourselves. It sucks the life out of us, and instead of thriving, we find ourselves barely surviving. And even sometimes, you know, what's the point of life? Do I even want to live? Suicidal thoughts and plans and ideas. And so anger, not a bad thing, but it can lead to depression if it's not managed well and in a healthy way. And we bear the brunt of that. It sucks the life out of us. It destroys our relationships with other people. And so that's why we need to learn to manage anger. And when we are experiencing symptoms of depression, I think if we can take a minute and say, okay, yeah, I'm feeling some of these symptoms, but of depression, but what's at the root of this? Because if we don't deal with the root of depression, which can be that unresolved anger and that anger turned inward, if we don't get to the under roots, the underpinnings of that, maybe for a season we can lift ourselves out of a sense of depression, but in the long run, we just miss out on a lot of the good things of life. Some examples of things that we can get triggered by, that we can get angry about. Just from a simple perspective, if you think about, I like to watch a lot of sports. And when there's a bad call against your team, it feels like, well, that's not fair. That's an injustice. And we can feel anger about a situation like that. Driving. Anybody ever feel any anger when you're out driving? That can be a big problem. Not that it's wrong to feel anger if, you know, someone is driving a little crazy and is out of control and threatening us. We can and may and probably should experience some anger there. So that just a simple experience like that can trigger anger. The political climate, right? We just had an election, and no matter which side of the row you find yourself on, boy, there's a lot of anger out there because there's a lot of feelings of injustice and that things are not being done well and that people are being hurt by some of the decisions that are made. So the world around us and political issues can trigger anger in our lives. Loss is a big trigger for anger. If you've ever lost someone in your life, that is important to you. If you've lost a child, if you've lost a close friend, if you've lost a parent or any relative or person that's close to you, along with a lot of other emotions, anger is a normal part of that. Maybe it doesn't seem fair that that person is gone or how they died. My mom went through Alzheimer's and, boy, I still have questions. Me personally, I have questions for God about that. And I had to have it out with God a little bit as well, as within myself and in talking with other people. So loss, loss of a dream when life doesn't go the way we expected it to. Boy, I've had experiences in my own life that I didn't see coming and I wouldn't have predicted, to go that way. in my kids' lives, in my work life, in life circumstances. You know, we all kind of have a script of how we think life is going to go, and we have dreams. And when those dreams are lost or shattered, anger is a healthy and normal thing to feel, along with all the other emotions that we feel in response to that kind of a loss. Loss of physical ability. If we've had an injury, as we naturally get older and our bodies don't do what they used to do, and in our minds, we want to be able to do things and we maybe think we can, but we just don't have the energy. We don't have the abilities to do what we used to be able to do. That's a big loss. All kinds of different losses that we may experience. Hurt and rejection from an important relationship. Divorce, loss of a good friend relationship. All of those kinds of situations from, you know, something little like reaction to a bad call in a sporting event to bigger personal things and circumstances in our lives, those kinds of losses. Anger is a normal part of what we feel and experience as we go through those things. An example from my own life. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in an area where I had the darkest skin. And so I experienced some racial bullying, a lot of name calling and joking and sneering and those kinds of things. And so as a kid, I didn't know how to deal with that. I don't even think I knew how to identify what I was feeling in response to some of those situations. But I had a lot of pent up emotions, including anger about those things that I didn't even realize. And so those things built up and built up. And like I said, normally I'm not an aggressive outburst kind of person with my anger, but I was substitute teaching after I graduated from college. And it was in I think it was in a middle school, and one of the kids made a racial comment to me. And my reaction was more than it needed to be, because I had this emotion built up inside of me, you know, this anger from previous experiences. And so the point of all that being, if we don't deal with anger and emotions well, situation by situation, what can happen is that stuff builds up. We can either become depressed, or we can lash out in a way that is totally excessive or inappropriate to that situation. You know, it's the kind of thing where someone blows up and you kind of look at them and say, well, why was that such an explosive reaction? The circumstance didn't seem that bad, but there's this major explosion or reaction because there's this unresolved anger and emotion and depression that has built up, and that built up in me. And so that's just an example from my own life of what we're talking about here. There's a verse in the Bible, Ephesians 4:26, and it says, "In your anger, do not sin." Or other ways of saying it in different versions, it says, "Be angry, but in your anger, do not sin." And that's interesting to me, because it's like there's instruction to be angry. It's okay to be angry when there's hurt or loss or injustice or threats to our well-being. Be angry. It's okay to be angry. It's legitimate to be angry. But in your anger, do not sin. And again, that's getting to the point of how do we manage and deal with our emotions. It's okay to be angry, but we need to know how to manage it and deal with it so that, number one, we don't become depressed and miss out on all of life that we're meant to experience, but also that we don't lash out at other people in ways that are going to hurt our relationships with other people. So that's an interesting verse. And it also says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And I think what I come to understand that as is deal with your anger when it comes up, right? Deal with the situation, deal with the emotions in a healthy way when it comes up. Because if we don't deal with it now, there's a sense of we're going to have to deal with it later, or someone is going to pay later, either ourselves or our relationships with other people. So, you know, we can't always resolve our anger and situations and relationships with other people, you know, by the end of each day. But the point being, don't let it fester. Don't let it sit there. Let's find some constructive ways to be angry, but in our anger, don't sin. Let's talk about, okay, anger's okay. It's appropriate. It's legitimate. We're meant to feel. But the ways that we manage or deal with it can create problems for us. What are some healthy ways of managing and dealing with this anger or the emotions that can result in depression in our lives and missing out on the life that we're intended to experience? One important thing is to notice when you're beginning to feel angry. Sometimes in our body, we can begin to notice some clues that, ooh, I'm getting a little steamed here, or a lot steamed. And sometimes in cartoons or different things, when they picture someone being angry, they show like smoke coming out of their head or something like that. And for me, when I'm starting to feel anger, and maybe for you too, one of the ways physically that I start to feel it is in my jaw. I can start to get a little tight in my jaw area, or throughout the rest of my body. I can begin to tense up. I can begin to tighten up my muscles. I can begin to have a racing heart. My heartbeat increases. Those are just some physical things, some physical signs to pay attention to that can be clues or indicators for us that, okay, I'm feeling some pretty strong emotion right now, whether it be anger or any other strong emotion. And I need to pay attention to this. I need to notice this, what's happening in my body and what I'm beginning to feel. So recognizing the early signs by noticing it in your body. Notice the anger that you're feeling and the physical signs that are giving you clues that I'm feeling some anger right now. So notice it. Name it. Name it. I am really angry right now. Name it and acknowledge it. Don't minimize it. Don't try to rationalize it away. Don't guilt yourself for feeling it, but notice it and name it. It's appropriate. It's legitimate. It's okay to feel it. We are built to feel all of the emotions, including some of the unpleasant ones like anger. So notice it, name it, allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to feel it. That sometimes may sound contrary to maybe what you were raised with in your home about, you know, being angry, or fortunately, even in some churches sometimes, anger is looked down upon as a negative thing. But notice it, name it, allow yourself to feel it, because it's legitimate. We're born with emotions. We're meant to allow ourselves to feel it. Give yourself permission to feel it. But then going beyond the noticing it and the naming it and the feeling it is, instead of keeping it all in, share it. Share it with a safe person. Share it with a counselor. Share it with people in your life that you know and feel aren't going to shame you for feeling the anger, and aren't going to reject you for feeling the anger and any strong emotion, but will allow you to share exactly what you're feeling and why you're feeling that way. So sharing it with appropriate people is another healthy coping strategy. Sometimes when we're sharing our anger, there can be good ways and not so good ways, healthy ways and unhealthy ways, constructive ways and destructive ways. For instance, in a marriage or in our relationships with significant others or with our kids or whoever, our coworkers, it doesn't, you know, the need to express our anger doesn't mean we can just explode on somebody. We can rail on them. We can come out with, you did this and you did that and it's your fault, and all of the things that we can do that don't aid in having a healthy relationship and continuing a healthy relationship with that person. But instead using statements, we call them I statements. I'm feeling angry. When you did this, I felt angry or hurt. When you said this, I felt angry. That's a whole different tone and a whole different presentation of our anger. Rather than lashing out at the other person and blaming and you, it's taking responsibility for our emotions that we're experiencing, naming it, sharing it in a constructive way that lends itself to a healthy discussion with other people in our lives, rather than a discussion that results in division and disengagement and destruction of that relationship. So that's an example of how to express our emotions and our anger in a constructive way. I mentioned earlier for myself, when I'm not dealing with anger well, I withdraw. I can give people a bit of the silent treatment. And I think it's important to realize that both the non-aggressive ways of expressing anger and the more aggressive ways of expressing anger, they're both unhealthy. They're both unhealthy. I think the angry, aggressive outbursts, you know, obviously people look at those and say, ooh, that's not a good way to deal with anger. But the passive ways of dealing with anger, the withdrawing of love and attention and the silent treatment is just as destructive. It may not be as loud or on the outside appear as hurtful, but it is. It's just as damaging and can be just as destructive to relationships. So we've got kind of a spectrum there of, you know, the internalizing the anger and kind of the passive ways of dealing with it versus the more aggressive ways of dealing with anger. I don't know if any of you like to write, but sometimes journaling can be a very effective way of expressing our anger in a constructive way. I think about, there are times when I've used that in my life, because I know if I were to express the anger unfiltered, it would not be good for myself. It would not be good for the other person. But if I can find a place to write it down, unhindered, and let some of it out that way before I go into a discussion with someone that I need to have a discussion with, that can be a real helpful and healthy way to deal with those emotions and that intense anger that we feel. Physical activity is another positive way to deal with that energy that we feel when we're angry. Because when we're angry, when we're really angry, we've got all this pent up energy inside. And sometimes we may be tempted to unleash that energy on someone else in a way that's not good for ourselves or other people. But going for a walk, exercise for me is a great form of therapy. It's a way of getting some of those emotions out in a healthy way that doesn't cause harm to myself or my relationships with other people or with God, if that's a part of our lives. So physical activity, learning how to communicate in healthy ways, using I statements rather than you statements and pointing blame, but just taking responsibility for our emotions and expressing them verbally in constructive ways. Another healthy thing that we can do when we're angry is relaxation techniques. Yoga can be a way of getting some of that emotion out and breathing through it. Breathing practices, deep breathing practices, have proved to be an effective way of calming ourselves down a little bit, getting ourselves down to a place where we can express our anger in a healthy and constructive way. It's amazing how just taking a few deep breaths can settle us down from that intense burst of energy that we can feel and may want to take out on someone else when we're feeling those things. There's also been a lot of research done on gratitude, just the practice of gratitude, recognizing things that we have in our lives that we can be grateful for. Because when I'm in the midst of a lot of intense anger or emotion, I can become so boxed in and so focused in on that anger that I lose sight of all the things that I have to be grateful for. And if I take a minute to take a deep breath, slow myself down, whatever that looks like, and change my mindset a little bit to, yeah, I'm really angry at this person, but we've had a lot of good experiences in the past, and being grateful for those, or I have been blessed in so many ways. I'm going to take a minute and let myself think about that and express some gratitude. I've come to kind of think of that as making sure I start my day and end my day with some vitamin G, right? Some gratitude, because that can go a long way in helping us deal with our normal and appropriate anger, so that when we do express it, which we need to do, we do it from a more balanced perspective and in a way that isn't going to harm myself and my relationships with other people. How are we doing here on time? Let me just close with talking about some long-term solutions to prevent depression. Building strong support systems, having friends, having people in your life, whether it's your neighborhood or at work, or if you attend church and there are opportunities to build a supportive network and become involved in a supportive network with safe people, developing those strong support systems, seeking professional help, is a very wise and healthy thing to do if we find ourselves struggling with anger and depression and we feel like I'm just kind of stuck in this. And I'm not even sure what I'm angry. I'm not even sure what's underneath that anger. I just need some help in unpacking some of that. Is it from hurt in the past? What's the root of it? And talking with a counselor or a professional therapist, they can maybe come alongside you and help you unpack some of that as well. Adopting a healthy lifestyle over the long haul, regular exercise, a balanced diet, good night's sleep. Those are all things that if we can build those things into our life over the long haul, we're going to be in a better place to deal with the anger and the intense emotions that we may feel as we go throughout our day and throughout our life. And then learning to set boundaries. Setting boundaries and self-care is a very wise and healthy thing to do. Again, that's not selfish. We all need boundaries. We all need to take care of ourselves as well. Learning to say no and finding activities or things that refresh and restore us. And there are different stages of life where it's harder to find time to do that. But where you can, building those self-care practices into your life and learning to say no is okay. Learning to set boundaries with other people and with other situations is a wise and healthy thing to do. So those are some other kind of long-term solutions that we can incorporate into our life that can help us in dealing with anger and intense emotion and the depression that can result from that. So I've said a whole lot. That's a lot of information. I'm going to stop there and leave a little bit of time here for some questions. I may not have all the answers, but we'll do our best with this. And if I don't know, I can certainly look into it. But thoughts or questions?
A lot of great insights, Rick, for our own mental health, but also our improve our relationships with our family and coworkers as well. And it's just very timely because, as you mentioned, it seems we live in there just seems to be rage everywhere you go. You know, you have to be savvy about how you get your news. We're surrounded in a world of rage, but also the mixed message of everything should be perfect for you. So it's hard to find the common sense, and you do a great job with it. So thank you.
Appreciate that. Yeah. We see, coming off of COVID as well, a lot of loss during COVID, a lot of change in people's lives. And like you said, the political climate now, there's just a lot of rage and division all around us in society right now. Other thoughts?
I see a lot of ties to fear as well. And that's something that I think a lot of my anger comes from, is that if I'm fearful of something, I question why, right? Like, I shouldn't be, I should be tougher than that. And so I find myself internalizing that, because we're in a world where you're supposed to have it all under control, right? And I think that's probably what personally gets me is the tie to not being able to express that.
Okay. Yeah, there's these unwritten rules in society. Thank you for sharing that. There's unwritten rules in our society, or maybe in our families growing up, that, you know, we got to have it together all the time, that feeling emotions is a sign of weakness, and expressing our emotions and sharing our emotions is a sign of weakness, when in reality, we're created to feel. It's normal. It's legitimate. We need to be able to express those things, but we're kind of swimming upstream in a lot of ways when that's how we allow ourselves to view fear or anger or any of those emotions. They're legitimate. They're healthy to feel. They're a gift to feel. And so we don't need to be ashamed of them.
Yeah, Rick, I think that's, that, you know, Mary brought up a good point that the, and I think it's for veterans, it probably really has a deeper impact, because we were trained not to have feelings and trained to bury those emotions. And I know with the veterans that are listening in, that it resonates with me, and, you know, the years of going through that stuff and the trials that we face, that you don't have time to address those, nor can you show them outwardly. And then after years, you know, it's been 20 years since I was in the service. And, you know, now I can tell that attitude towards anger, emotion, fear, has really driven a lot of my, maybe not feeling good about myself. And, you know, not ever dealing with that for 20 years. And I know a lot of guys have faced the same thing, has driven a lot of us to a different state of mind than we probably would have been had we learned to address things as they came up, even though there might not have been a very good time when we were sitting there. But after we got home, was a better time than waiting for so long, because it does fester and it creates a lot of problems.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And the military, there are other professions or situations where part of the training, you know, maybe needs to be, you know, you can't feel, you can't admit weakness, but at some point in our lives, we need to give ourselves permission to be able to do that. Yeah. Yes. And thank you for all of you who have served as well. Yeah.
Mary, make sure you have a good support group while he's gone. So that's, you know, and I always had to toe the line and say the family support groups or the FRGs, and I'm not a huge fan of FRGs, but find a good support. And that's that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think that goes back to that admitting weakness thing, right? Like, it's okay to ask for help. And he's been gone in the past, and I've tried to do it all by myself. And yep, it takes a toll on you, right? But if you, at the end of the day, it's not a weakness to ask for help. And nope. And so I'm getting myself in the mindset this time around, because I know how it's impacted me for previous times, that I do need to do that, right? It's not possible to do everything by yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, the families left behind have it worse than we do on deployments, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's when you're sitting over there in the sandbox, you're doing what everybody else is doing. Everybody's dealing with the same things. Those left at home are sitting there wondering what's going on over there, whether you're safe or not. taking care of the kids, doing all the work that two would have normally done. And now it's just one doing it. And, yeah, it's a lot. The spouses have it harder than we do. I've always said that.
Yeah, I think as I've gotten older, I think one of the things I've come to realize is that control is an illusion. It's the grand illusion. You know, I think I can be in control. I think I can manage things in my own strength. I think I can buck up and just handle things. But the reality is there's times for all of us when we need to talk to somebody, and we need to realize that weakness, feeling emotions, is not weakness. But if we're willing to, in a sense, embrace that weakness and walk through it, notice it, embrace it, feel it, share it, those can be some of the biggest growth opportunities in our life that can restore us to experiencing life in a deeper and more meaningful way, personally and in our relationships with others. But yeah, this whole world is about trying to control things. Yeah. Yeah.
So Rick, I know you have to probably take off.
I do. Yes.
I did want to say thank you for taking the time tonight to walk through depression a little bit more in depth with us tonight. And I'm looking forward to the next webinar next week. And as you guys are on the call, make sure you guys are here next week, same time, to listen to Josh. And I really hope that you're able to jump on too next week, Rick, because I think you and Josh can probably have some good banter back and forth. And As we reach out, feel free to reach out to Fearless Chaplaincy, reach out to Pam if you're a part of the organization, if you need support somewhere, and just make sure that you're using the resources we have. And I appreciate what Mary said about having to be okay with reaching out. That's something I think a lot of us struggle with. It's okay to need help, and that's the biggest thing that, you know, if we see ourselves as a team, it's a lot easier to get through. And that's, you know, David, your comment was right. Being overseas is a lot easier probably than being at home because we have a team.
Yeah, everybody's doing the same stuff.
Absolutely. Yep. We're close. They're brothers, they're sisters. You know them all. It's our own little family in the in the sandbox, and they don't necessarily have that back home when they're, you know, maybe not even back at base. They might be back at their hometown and alone and wondering. So your comment really hit home with me as well. I appreciate that. So, but I will sign off tonight, and I know Pam is excited about next week too. We'll post this on Injured Soldiers website to make sure anybody else that can't join tonight can watch. Feel free to tell your friends and family where to find it at injuredsoldiers.org. To go in there and view that once it gets posted. The last pod webinar is actually posted on their website as well, so feel free to watch that if you haven't had time. And Rick, just thank you very much for taking the time tonight and sharing with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick, very much.
Thank you all. Thanks for
what you do. Go ahead and feel free to sign off. Everyone else that's on there, it's going to be the same link for the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not confused. We're not going to do a different link every time. And like Kyle said, this is a great opportunity to build a support group. And David, you were awesome. Eric, you're awesome. We need to get more people on board with us. That's Kyle's dream, to help each other. So feel free to share this link.
I definitely will.
Yeah, I will definitely look forward to seeing you all next week when we meet next Thursday again. So
we need to help each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Have a
great night.
Yeah, have a good night.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.